Welcome back to Quest to the Core. I'm Simone.
And I'm Jonna. Today, we're stepping into one of the most misunderstood and yet most essential truths about leadership.
Leadership isn't something that you earn. It's something that you claim. You know, we've taught that leadership is something external. It's a role. It's a title. Something granted to us by someone else once we've proven ourselves. But it's not really that.
It really isn't. And that sometimes is a really hard concept for people to understand because leadership doesn't begin with a title. It begins long before you're ever even in a titled leadership role. It starts internally. It starts with who you are and who you see yourself as, which is one of the hardest things to teach.
There's a real difference. When you think of leadership, you think, I've got this checklist of things to do. What do I need to do? What decisions do I need to make? Real leaders who make big impacts, they're focusing on something different. They're the ones who really think about and consider how they show up to other people. You know, what we're talking about here is really that difference between the doing of leadership, to the checklists and the what decision do I need to make, to the being of leadership, of, you know, how do I show up for other people?
The being part really is foundational to being a successful leader. That is more wrapped around mindset, values, and ultimately how you're showing up and what your presence is as an individual, whether you're in a leadership role or not.
That individual part of it gets back to our whole conversation around it's a journey of a leader. And for myself, what is that individual journey? And then for other people, what is that individual journey? A lot of people really struggle with, okay, I want to be a leader like so-and-so. And so they jump into this path. As long as I start doing what she's doing, say, I want to be a leader like Jonna. As long as I start doing what she's doing, then I'm going to be this great leader. And that's not really it. It's a much more personal focus.
Well, it is. A lot of times when you do have a person that you think is a great leader or does a great job as a leader, it's not so much about what they actually do. It's the energy that they bring. It's their presence. It is how they make others feel in that situation, working on whatever job task that they're doing, that people want to follow them and they're willing to follow them. It is more about who they are while they are doing leadership.
You mentioned presence. What presence do I bring to it? What intentions do I show? We've used intention a lot. Yeah. And it gets into what's, you know, my identity. It's not just the action, it's the being part. And that's a harder concept for people to get at. But there's this dance that, yes, you need to do those activities, because that's what you're hired to produce those things. But there is the being part of it that's going to separate a basic leader from the great leaders.
Unfortunately, there's not a leadership theory or a structured framework that we could share and say, if you did these, or if you followed these guidelines, you would be an exceptional leader. Because mastery in leadership is not about perfecting the to-do list. It's not about perfecting the leader standard work. Mm-hmm. It's about deepening who you are as a person, which then flows into who you are as a leader. Leadership really is an internal job. It's not an external job.
Yeah, it's an inside job, is the title of this episode. As we were preparing to do this episode, I was trying to come up with an analogy, because a lot of people, they're like, okay, what do you mean this being stuff? You know, being versus the doing. When you think about taking a trip, you create an itinerary. So, and you follow the itinerary. That's the doing part. There's this whole other aspect of traveling that you've got to bring this being of a traveler, or a mindset of a traveler, that, okay, the refrigerator is not going to be here, so how do I make sure that there is going to be nutrition along the way? But if you're only following that itinerary and you don't have every unforeseen act on that itinerary, you're doing something wrong. So do you have any other examples of that, the distinction between the being and the doing of leadership?
As you were talking, I was just here thinking, I'm sure we've all been on that trip with that one person who plans the trip out down to the minute. And it is like, drill sergeant, wake up, and you go from thing to thing to thing. Then you're at the end of the day and you're like, wait a minute, what did I even experience today? Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be more about the experience than the agenda or itinerary that this individual is trying to accomplish, which is the doing part, where the experience of is the being part. When I try to articulate this to others, I look at it backwards. If you have the doing without the being, there is a disconnect between the impact you're trying to make as a leader, but then also a disconnect between the other individuals who are going to follow you and what you're trying to accomplish as a group. That disconnect is something that's easily identified, especially from someone outside looking in. But as a leader, we can take a moment when something doesn't feel like, or we feel like we're beating our head against the wall and we're trying to like move something forward and it's not going that way, then it's time to take a step and reflect and say, okay, am I trying to do without the being? Because there's that disconnect.
That disconnect is a very important part, because we could say the word disconnect, but until you see, oh, that's what's causing this. It's I'm trying to force leadership, trying to force task on people and not just be inside this whole moment of what am I responsible for in leading.
I recall coaching an individual who was very frustrated that they didn't have the bandwidth or the space to be more strategic or to be able to move projects or programs forward, because they felt like all they were doing was the work. They felt that their team wasn't taking the responsibility, or that they didn't want to delegate the responsibility, and really challenge them to take a step back and say, if you continue to do the doing, you will not have the space to step into the being. It is almost the reverse. You have to take a step into the being so that you can release some of the doing.
That's tough for leaders to do. You know, you get promoted to this role because you're good at doing these things. So I was coaching an individual who was a newly promoted COO. He had left one company, gone to another company, and he was struggling. He's like, man, I'm having to tell them what to do all the time, and I'm not used to that. So I just asked him, what do your meetings sound like? He was like, well, we go over these things. I said, well, in the meetings, you're telling them what to do. Shift your conversation. And that's what he got to. How and so that was his inquiry now. How do I shift my conversation so their conversation shifts? Your leader didn't recognize the disconnect. They had the complaint of, I can't do more strategic things because. And my example was, he saw the disconnect and had no idea what to do with it.
That's hard. We are held responsible for the doing part because that is something that, you know, performance is looked at, the doing. When we can use the being and do the doing from the being, it helps increase performance. I'm going to see how many times I can say doing and being.
Doing and being. Yeah. Well, yeah. Have the being drive the doing.
Exactly.
It gets back to that mindset. Where are you standing? What are you looking at? Because what you're looking at gives you different actions that need to occur.
So the other thing I think about is the being is an internal job, and the doing is an external job. Mm-hmm. We typically are very good at evaluating those external things because they're tangible, whether it's producing performance, you know, we can tangibly see. So it's much easier to do the doing than it is to focus in on the being, because it is an internal thing and there is not a tangible thing or a list that we can check off of, especially when we are strapped for bandwidth, when we are stressed, when we're overwhelmed, it's almost natural to revert back into the doing, to cross things off the list, to accomplish whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish, when that's the very moment that we need to take that shift and go internally, because then it is going to help us be more effective at the doing.
There's this trap of, well, I'm doing these things. Here's my list. So it's almost this proof, because you feel that internal disconnect. You want to have proof. And the being part doesn't have as much visible proof because it's an experience that people are left with.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we as humans want to be productive. We want to produce things. When we can see that, it almost becomes part of our identity. Then that's where the trap comes in, because then we attach our identity to the doing part as opposed to our identity being the being, and then letting that drive the doing.
Let's talk about the being part in reference to whether or not you're officially a leader. Because a lot of people think, oh, I'm a leader because I've got this title. And you and I both say fundamentally, no,
right.
No. The premise that we have is that anybody can be a leader. It's a choice. You're choosing to take the mantle of leadership. Even when you are conferred this title, you still need to make that choice. I'm choosing leadership. What does it look like when you don't have that title and you're in this situation where there's utter chaos or there's disarray, but you see something that can be done?
I think all of us have probably experienced it, been in situations where we've seen someone step up. It is more about who that person is and the presence that that person brings. Regardless of what their title is, it is really connecting and building that trust because of the being, and people feel compelled based on who that person is showing up as. It's not somebody coming in a chaotic situation and barking orders so that things get done. It's somebody coming in that has that presence of being a leader, regardless of their title, that builds that trust, connects with the people that are in the room or on the project or in the family, could be in the family, of helping the situation move forward.
I have an example of where I wasn't in the leader role. A colleague of mine who was brand new to the learning world, she had come from other areas, but we were in the learning department, and she was responsible for starting a new succession planning process. And the company hadn't done succession planning for years, so it had basically had gone away. So it was they were trying to reinvigorate succession planning. Well, she had never worked for a company that did succession planning. She had never been a practitioner. And I had, you know, at that point in my career, I hadn't designed a succession planning process yet, but I had been parts of it. I'd been responsible as an HR consultant, HR partner, to administer the succession planning processes and tools for the division I worked for. I had insights to share, and I knew that there were other insights I'd shared with her before that didn't go over so well. I knew how important this was, that I needed to temper how I did it. So I approached her very casually, lunch, hallway, and just dribbled ideas and dribbled thoughts and shared resources. And eventually she started to come to me asking questions. Well, how would you do this? How would we do this? How has it been done other places? It became a collaborative conversation to help build it. Or if I'd gone in like I normally did before, I would come across sounding like a know-it-all, but I didn't want to in this particular situation.
I think that's a fabulous example. A lot of times it comes from knowing the other person as well, and that helps you step into that being, regardless of what your title is, because that could have come across as, I know this process, I've done this before, you've never done it, so let me tell you how to do it. But taking the approach of knowing the other person and just stepping into the being and having that knowledge helped the situation be successful, as opposed to make a negative impact, which it can do.
I know that I can come across that way. Like, oh, I know it all. And I just get so excited about sharing information. I've learned to try to temper that. I'm not completely successful yet in my career. Because I know today I'm still sure that I push some people off because I sound like I know it all. I just get so excited about sharing what I know for that purpose of getting better. I thought everybody was that way. They wanted to share whatever they knew. I've had to temper that for myself on scaling back being a know-it-all, because I would show up in that being. Here I am, I think in my head I'm being a leader, but I'm showing up being a know-it-all. It came from that inquiry of how do I show up for other people? And that's
in powerful.
That's in that being section of leader versus the doing section. You know, the doing part was, I know how to do this. And here's the checklist of you need to do this, then you need to do that. That's the doing part of that activity. And yes, I could show leadership of that doing part, but my being was coming across as a know-it-all jerk. Those were hard lessons.
They are hard lessons, very hard lessons, but you had to be open and willing to learn those lessons. You could have continued on and done the same thing that you've always done, but by becoming curious on the impact that you were making and then being open to what has transpired with that other person and how they feel, by you giving this information allowed you to become a better leader in the being space. When thinking about managing up or managing sideways, because that tends to happen when you have cross-functional groups, or you're in a position that doesn't have the title or authority to move a project along, that using the being part can help the project be
definitely
efficient. Managing up is something that I don't think gets talked about enough. But just because your leader is your leader doesn't mean that you can't lead your leader.
That's
from
true.
The being.
Definitely. And I want my employees to lead me. I want them to be smarter than me in aspects of their job. I want them to be better at their job than I'd be at their job. I need them to lead me, particularly when I'm saying something dumb.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. We can't know it all, and we're not going to be perfect. In order to be a better leader, we need to have that feedback.
Yeah.
As you were sharing, I was thinking about how do you recognize that you're in the being as opposed to the doing?
I think it's easier for me to recognize that I'm not in the being.
That's powerful.
It's when there's friction between me and others, between me and me. I'm working too hard. Why is this activity so hard for me to do? And this friction shows up. Then I realize that, I'm doing all this stuff. I'm not thinking about, and I'm not in the being of it. That's how it is for me. It's harder for me to recognize when I'm in the being of it.
Yeah, that's a great perspective to take. That obviously happens during the reflection piece. You recognize there's some friction, and then you have to take the time and stop and reflect upon, okay, what's causing the friction? And then to have that self-awareness to know that you do feel, or that there's friction within you, which is sometimes the last thing that we want to even acknowledge or recognize, mm-hmm. that there's friction between me and me about situation, whatever, people, whatever it is that we're working on. So that reflection piece is huge when it comes to identifying being versus doing.
And that reflection piece doesn't have to be some facilitated, protracted thought process in a box with a counselor or a coach. It could be driving home 4 hours after you intended to go home and you are exhausted and you know you have to get back up in just a few hours to go back at it again. You can do the thinking right then.
That sounds like a personal example.
It is a personal example. Oh my goodness. I've got a big one that just like right in front of my face. When I was running a call center, I was brought in to run it because escalations were through the roof, a lot of people problems. The number of escalations in the phone calls I got daily, actually I could count them hourly, were just insane about how the team had dropped the ball. Mm. But as you can imagine, there's a lot of things that needed to be fixed. System issues, process issues, people issues, attitude issues, scheduling issues, a bunch of stuff had to change. I knew this long list of things that had to change, but I knew those things took time. And I didn't want to have another day like that. Like literally driving home, I was like, this has got to change. I realized that I was on phone calls, taking escalations, trying to solve them as if I were in the batting box, having to hit every ball. So I got out of the batting box. I started making proactive phone calls. I put a blotter on my desk. I went old school. An old big blotter. For people who don't know what that is, it's just this big white pad of paper that people would put on their desk to scribble on or whatever. I put one that had a calendar on it.
That's amazing.
And in every day, I would write the people that I spoke with, had a hallway conversation with, had a chat, a text message with, that were part of my stakeholder group. Because my stakeholder group had about 90 people in it. And for the ones that I had not touched by Friday morning, that was my Friday activity. Just checking in. And it didn't have to be a phone call, but just checking in, either an email or a text message, depending on the relationship I was building with that particular person. These were like 90 leaders across all of North America. And the escalations and the amount of time drastically went down over 2 weeks. 2 weeks that happened.
That's amazing.
So yes, it can happen on the drive home saying, no more. I can't keep doing this. Because you can't. And because I was in the doing. I was in the batter's box, knocking the balls. And I had to get out of the batter's box. Somebody else had to hit the balls.
That's a great example. Mm-hmm. And as you were talking, it made me think of quotes, people aren't going to remember what you do, but they're going to remember how you make them feel. That really sums up the being part. What impact are you making when you are showing up? And that doesn't require proving yourself. That doesn't require permission to lead. That doesn't require, you know, this title that you have. It simply requires your presence and really knowing who you are at the core in order to show up in that being space.
One thing that really helped me, and this will be tough for some people, is I didn't know the job that they were doing. Like it was a technology job. They were fixing stuff over the phone and dispatching people to fix things in person. I didn't know how to fix technology. I had an HR background. This was a developmental assignment for me. If you can, give up what you already know. Leadership is easier.
Can you say that one more time?
If you can give up what you already know, leadership is easier.
So being open and curious.
Being open, being curious, giving up the idea that, or the notion that you have all the answers. Leadership is much easier. And putting faith in the people that you're paying to do the work and the job that they're in, really support them in doing their job. That's the whole being space of it.
You've done a lot of thinking on this concept, as well as a lot of writing on this concept. Would love to provide our listeners with some tangible things to distinguish between the doing and the being. If you wouldn't mind to share with us kind of a framework as we close out for today.
I love a great framework, and I do have one. How do I know when I'm in the doing? How do I know when I'm in the being? When you're in doing, you're asking yourself, what's on my task list? You're asking yourself, what decisions need to be made? What decisions do I need to make? When's that next meeting? When's the next deliverable? That's what you're doing. When you're in the space of being, the framework for being really is in the inquiry. You want to ask yourself, How do I want people to feel if they've been in a meeting with me, a one-on-one with me? How do I want them to feel? Not feel about me, but just feel. And the second question is, what energy do I bring to a room? We don't think about that a lot. Sometimes if you're in a bad mood or if you're sad or you spilled coffee on yourself in the car on the way to work that day, you can bring that irritation into a room. What's that level of energy I'm bringing? And then the third question really is, where am I leading from? Am I leading from a space of trust or a space of fear, a space of control, or a space of general caring for others? There's a framework of being and doing, and we probably should put that up on our website with this episode.
It'll be in our resource section. So as you move through this week, ask yourself, am I leading from being or just doing? What would it look like to claim leadership today without waiting for permission?
That brings us to the end of this episode. Our next episode is Zone of Optimal Learning. You'll be able to hear this episode on our website, www.questtothecore.com, and that's two with the number two, not the letters. Also, anywhere that you may be listening to podcasts. Very special thanks to Grammy-recognized number one hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. His information is also on our website. Go and check him out.
And until then, lead from within and remember the most powerful leaders aren't granted authority, they embody it.